Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is the highest-scoring NBA player of all time and still often considered one of the most elusive personalities in sports. Since his retirement in 1989, the man who led every basketball team he ever played for, from All-American with the Power Memorial High School Panthers to five NBA championships with the LA Lakers, he's been extremely hard to pin down. He's been a jazz promoter and a producer. He's played a pilot in the movie Airplane. He's written books, including 2000's A Season on the Reservation, My Sojourn with the White Mountain Apaches, about coaching basketball on an Apache reservation, and 2 years ago, the book Brothers in Arms, the epic story of the 761st Tank Battalion, World War II's forgotten heroes. He's now working with the National Basketball Association and the Prostate Cancer Foundation to raise funds and awareness. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar joins us from our studios in New York. Thanks so much for being with us.
My pleasure.
Tell us a bit about how the program in which you're speaking is going to operate. There are these, what inevitably, I guess, in this day and age, we call these Lance Armstrong-like wristbands that are being sold in NBA arenas around the country.
Well, the wristband program is under the auspices of the NBA. Mm-hmm. And you can go online to NBAstore.com and order any of 18 players' wristband. All the profits will go to cancer research, specifically prostate cancer.
Mm-hmm. We'll explain there's some contemporary stars like Tony Parker and Tim Duncan and LeBron James. You can get their wristbands. And then
some old-timers like myself.
Well, I wasn't going to phrase it that way, but you and Jerry West, who's, my God, a basketball executive of all things now, and Walt Frazier and Oscar Robertson. When you talk about prostate cancer prevention and cure, is it hard to get attention for something like that when there's so many, for lack of a better word, other maladies that cry out for public attention, when there's so many wristbands for that matter?
Well, I think prostate cancer deserves the attention that we're trying to bring to it. 34% of all men will have to deal with it in some way or another, and it's very easy to treat given the fact that early analysis is part of the picture.
I have to ask this while we have the chance. Would you still like to coach in the NBA?
Yeah, I think I could do a good job. Of course, you know, it all depends on opportunity, and I haven't had the good fortune to come across one. But I've been working with the Lakers now for a little over a year, teaching a young player named Andrew Bynum, who's 19 years old and wants to be a dominant center player. And I've had a good experience with that, and I'm hoping to see him continue to improve.
You were the most famous high school basketball player in the nation, but still went to UCLA. As a generalization, what do you think about youngsters going from high school into the NBA?
I think in this day and age, with so much financial reward involved in it, I think it's not a bad choice for a youngster to go from high school into the NBA. But when I had the opportunity to do it back in 1965, it really didn't make much sense. Getting an education and making sure that you have the means to do something with your life other than basketball was an important thing.
May I ask, you're working on another book?
Yes, I am. I'm working on a book that relates what happened during the Harlem Renaissance and the early days of professional basketball. One of the best basketball teams that they never heard of played in Harlem during the Harlem Renaissance and into the 1930s and was the first professional championship team in this nation.
Well, forgive me, what team was that? I know it wasn't the Globetrotters because they actually didn't play in Harlem.
It wasn't the Globetrotters. That's right. Globetrotters were from Chicago.
Right.
They used the name Harlem to let people know that they were a black team. But the New York Renaissance Big Five, also known as the Harlem Rens, that was the best team in early professional basketball. Nobody knows this story.
Mr. Abdul-Jabbar, been wonderful talking to you. Thanks very much.
Thank you. It's a pleasure talking to you.
Speaking with us from New York, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He's the all-time NBA scoring leader, is raising funds to find a cure for prostate cancer. And you're listening to NPR News. The NFL regular season is drawing to a close. How will they sell beer in Cialis? Ah, wait, the playoffs are coming. And several exciting teams have been getting most of the attention this year as they've been atop their divisions. The sensational San Diego Chargers in the AFC West, the imposing Chicago Bears in the NFC North, and the surprising New Orleans Saints leading the NFC South. Howard Bryant of the Washington Post joins us. Howard, thanks very much for being with us.
Good morning, Scott.
Marty Schottenheimer, who coaches the San Diego Chargers, says that their running back, LaDainian Tomlinson, is the best ever. Would you care to dispute?
Tough to dispute with the year that he's having. The thing that strikes me most about LaDainian Tomlinson is that even his peers are in awe of him. And that's very, very hard to do with these very tough-minded professional athletes who have their own egos involved. But when you look at what he's done, he can catch the ball, he can run, he can do things in space that you think you're watching a video game. You think you're playing with the old PlayStation when you look at some of the maneuvers he can put on professional players.
Let me ask you about another player who's having a remarkable, even historic year. That's Devin Hester of the Chicago Bears on the special teams. He set a record for kickoff returns. The Bear defense has been extraordinary, but what about Rex Grossman at quarterback? Hot, cold, hot, cold?
When you have a differential like the Chicago defense has, they've scored 360 points this year. Their defense has only given up 177 points. Yeah. You can pretty much beat anybody, except when you're not sure what kind of performance your quarterback is going to give you. But the fact remains is that when you look at their schedule, they've only played two teams that are even playoff contenders, and they beat Seattle, mm-hmm. but they lost to New England. And you're just not sure in a close game what this guy, Rex Grossman, will give you. Otherwise, you look at their defense and you say, nobody can beat them.
Boy, it's been fun to watch the New Orleans Saints this year. Rookie Reggie Bush and quarterback Drew Brees, who, by the way, was let go by the Chargers because he had a bum shoulder, has been just tearing up the circuit and raising the spirits of a city who needs it, but really impressing the NFL.
Yeah, exactly. And one of the storylines that I do like, I'm a little bored by professional athletes because they seem so detached from the regular people. But one of the stories that I do like, and I think it's special in professional sports, is when players have something to prove. The wide receiver, Marcus Colston, who is the dangerous threat on that wide receiving core, here's a guy who was the third to the last pick in the entire draft. They call the last player in the draft Mr. Irrelevant. So he was three steps away from being Mr. Irrelevant, and now he is one of the best wide receivers in football. And then, of course, there's Reggie Bush, who is just, once again, if you look at LaDainian Tomlinson, he's just a marvel to watch.
Howard Bryant of the Washington Post, thanks.
Thank you.
Howard gives us his Super Bowl picks. You can go to npr.org. This is NPR News.